The most dangerous place you can be as a trial lawyer is to think you've got it figured out.
I'm still trying to get better. I still have the passion for it. I believe in it.
Everyone can learn to do what I do.
And yet there's a group here that continues to get extraordinary verdicts.
Trial Lawyers University is revolutionizing educating lawyers to be better trial lawyers. It's been invaluable to me.
Trial Lawyers University, where the Titans come to train. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
All right. Well, today we're joined by Sterling Louvier. Did I get that right?
You got that right.
And I know everybody's going to be surprised, but he's French. He's a Frenchman. And Sterling and I got to know each other a bit down in Cabo just a couple weeks ago. We were down at Gary Dordick's Trial College, and that was a great time, a great experience. Maybe it doesn't go. It's mid-May every year, and Gary's been doing it for about 5 years and bringing some of the best trial lawyers from mostly Los Angeles, a few from around the country. Still hasn't given me a teaching spot yet, which is, I think, is an oversight on his part, but, you know, we'll have to address that at a different time. We have to address that. Trial Lawyers College made that oversight for about 12 years, and, right. And I was like, hey, I got to go start my own program. It's the only way I can get myself on a stage. But Sterling, you are not a typical guest here because you are not a trial lawyer, but help a lot of trial lawyers. And I know for sure that you help people like Gary Dordick, Tom Baer, and Mauro Fiore, famous for the Burden of Proof podcast with Bob Simon.
Yeah.
And how do you help these known trial lawyers that are pretty successful?
Well, we do a lot of tax mitigation work for them, asset management, general counsel from the standpoint that lots of lawyers know how to make money, but they don't necessarily know how to keep it.
Yes, that would be one of my shortcomings,
You know, so if you got a large income, you got a large tax burden, especially if you're in California.
Especially if you're in California, because Everybody's like, you're moving back to California, there's another 13% tax or so. I'm like, I'm aware of it.
Yeah, most people don't know that, you know, most taxes are voluntary, and, you know, the super affluent use a lot of techniques in which to mitigate taxes. And we basically show the successful entrepreneur, professional, how to mitigate their tax liability. You know, we can mitigate millions of dollars legally, morally, ethically.
These are legal, moral, and ethical are pretty important factors, especially if you're a lawyer with a bar card.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so, you know, we work with your CPA or your other professionals and bring them onto a team approach and help them show you how to mitigate those taxes. We basically provide the means, the methodology, and the maintenance of those programs that we create for you, we show you how to properly structure things like corporations that you're using, your qualified plan, other methods in which to lower that liability, deferral programs, different than what you've probably seen. So a lot of out of the box thinking, but it's from a tax perspective, it's out there being used. It's just not being used by you or your accountant. Most accountants don't know what they don't know, and they have all of one class on qualified plans, so they really don't necessarily know a lot of these things.
Right. But before we get into a little more depth of that, how did you get into this line of work?
It
wasn't a direct line.
No, it definitely wasn't. Actually, I was started off wanting to be an actor.
Me too.
Yeah.
Still do a little bit myself.
Yeah. I grew up in the restaurant business I had a program called the Millionaire that I really, enjoyed. And the three things that those all had in common is, people are happy when they're eating good food. They're really happy when they're being entertained, and they're most happy when they're getting a check.
Yeah.
So I didn't have Robert Redford looks, and I didn't have Robert Duvall talent. So being in the theater was a great venture. Met a lot of girls and did pretty well there.
That's an important aspect.
That was important. And I worked in the restaurant business as a line cook for a few years, and that was just way too much work for not a lot of money or appreciation.
So what was your favorite parts of working in the restaurant business?
You know, I have a big interest in culinary techniques and skills. And, you know, when I travel, I kind of do an immersion program. Went to Italy for a couple of weeks and cooked at an Italia resort for 2 weeks with the executive chef. And so that was kind of an adventure. And, you know, I got to know local people. You know, I go to Scotland and I got invited into personal homes. And so I'm interested in immersion, you know, travel of experiencing local things, not just being a tour on going to see, you know, the tourist experience. So, you know, food adventures are kind of an interest thing for me. And that's why I went to the Cordon Bleu, took some culinary classes. And again, you know, everything was centered around dating. When you cook at home, the couch isn't too far from the kitchen.
This is true. It's Smooth Sterling. Let's give you your nickname, Smooth Sterling.
So, you know, I've always had an interest in that. And I taught my daughter how to cook, and she's an excellent cook as well. So I'm also a certified diver. So the combination of those two, you know, food immersion and diving, you know, when I travel, I have a tendency to vacation in warm water spots. And
that have great food.
That have great food.
I want to talk to you about how you make the transition from being a cook and an actor, or, you know, struggling actor, to, you know, learning about all these financial vehicles and then having the discipline to create them and bring them to, you know, the world, bring them to the people that need them.
Well, I grew up with a very poor family background. My mother was a waitress and my father was a factory worker. And my parents were always struggling, trying to get out of some financial hole. And at one of the sales jobs that I was doing at the time, I got recruited into an insurance company by one of my friends who was working for them. And I was working for, you know, I started working with that organization, and I started making more money before I got out of bed at the age of like 24. I was making the equivalent of about $300,000 a year at 24 and unmarried. And I saw the handwriting on the walls, and I got into my own tax trouble because I didn't understand the tax code. I went to work for another company. After I got out of that dilemma and paid back all my taxes, I started working with a CPA who was a mentor for about 6 years. And it was a company called the New England, which dealt with affluent individuals and business owners. And he basically steeped me in the fact that most people are motivated by tax deductions. They buy cars and equipment that they don't need because their accountant told them that they needed more deductions. Well, right. It turns out that there were lots of ways in which to mitigate those taxes, and there was a program called a welfare benefit trust that I started promoting at that time, and it was a way for companies to take very large deductions and create very large savings accounts for themselves on a tax-favorable basis, in cases, millions of dollars. So that was my first exposure to that, working with that that CPA and that group of people. And we got into things like ESOPs, which is an employee stock ownership, which is another method of doing that. So I did that, and in 96, I opened up Financial Architects. I was additionally inspired by a really brilliant attorney out of St. Louis that I've been doing business with for the last 30 years. His average client is $500 million or more, and he provides a lot of unique insight out there, and He provided me with a lot of education on how to do those things. And over the last 30 years, I can't tell you how many millions of dollars that utilizing all of these techniques that I've accumulated over that time, we've saved our clients. And my background is working with CPAs and helping them uncover these deductions. I own an accounting practice at this point. I've worked with a couple of tax law firms where I was one of their chief tax strategists. And so it's just accumulation of knowledge over 30 years. And I'm always out there looking, like you put on this program for attorneys. Well, I go to similar programs designed for tax-related strategies. So I travel the country and pick the brains of some of the smartest tax attorneys in America and find out what's new, what works, what doesn't. And then we basically put it through the lab, so to speak, and figure out what actually is working versus what's going to put you into a jackpot. And so far, let's knock on a little wood here, I've never had a client that's had bad result on the strategies that we've put forward since 96. Now, we've had issues that we've had to unwind and redo, but never a bad result. And even when, you know, occasionally my clients get audited, we've come out successfully.
It's an impressive record.
I think it's a combination of spending a lot of time and finding the right people, and as well as really working hard at the craft. When you spend time on something, you're looking to be as bulletproof as possible. And you remember, if you have a problem, then I have one. There's no empty seat in a lawsuit, and so the last thing I want to do is put you into a situation where you're going to have a problem because I'm going to inherit it.
Right. That would be what we call no fun.
That would be no fun. Right. And some of the tuition that we charge to our clients for, expenses is based on, the liability that I inherit as a result of mitigating that tax and, being there and involved in the defense in the event that, a situation comes up.
August 24th through 28th, Satch Oliver has come all the way from Arkansas to right here to Hermosa Beach to TLU Beach House. And we're going to be teaching a 5-day Depositions Are Trial boot camp. You're going to be working on your cases. Satch is going to be working with you on your cases. So not only are you going to transform your case, but at the end of the day, it becomes a case expense because your case is going to get that much better. This program is limited to 10 participants. So if you want to come, get registered today. We'll see you right here. Well, you come into your first TLU this year, right, and you actually be, putting out a presentation about the stuff we're about to talk about. But because you haven't been to TLU before, I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of it.
Sure.
Because we were talking a little bit beforehand, before we got on here, and it was shocking how much you weren't aware of, that people aren't aware of, because it really starts off on Tuesday, June 2nd with a little surf camp with Ed Ciramboli, and then a little bit of pickleball with Supio. And that night we have the Finch Welcome Dinner. So we got about 200 people registered for that so far, but the registrations for that are still coming in. Chance to get everybody to get connected, get to know each other before we get there, because I'm really working on the connections besides the education. Yeah, because my goal is for people to make more money. And now, actually, if they use your services, even keep more money. But to make more money, we make more money by getting smarter on our cases and having a bigger network of friends/professionals, whatever you want to call it, that we do business with, because that's how we can make more money. And then on Wednesday morning, we got breakfast for everybody. And then there's 8 workshops on Wednesday. But in the afternoon, there's a golf outing. There's go-kart racing, more pickleball. Then we have our opening party that night from 5:30 to 8:30. We're going to have food trucks and live music. And after that, we got a poker tournament hosted by Codes Health. And we got the lobby. The lobby is a kind of like a lobby lounge. We have a couple ping pong tables, a foosball, a DJ, and an open bar, of course. It's lots of people drink. I tell them not to drink so much, but they don't listen to me. But then come Thursday, we got some yoga in the morning or working on the beach from 6:30 to 7:30. Then we got a full breakfast for everybody outside the ocean lawn. Then you got your choice of 5 lecture tracks and 8 workshop tracks. And your lecture is going to be on Friday, the 2nd, at 10:15 in the morning in the Blue Room. It's also the Blue Summit Room. And then we do a full lunch for everybody. And then we have themed parties every night. And we're going to have the Supio 80s tracksuit dinner party followed by the 80s tracksuit pool party. Not people are like, where'd you come up with these ideas? I'm like, I don't know. I smoke a little weed once in a while. It might become some of the brilliant ideas, but I don't know where I get them all from. And then, of course, we have the poker tournament in the lobby after that. Friday, our good buddy Satch Oliver is coming from Arkansas, bringing about 500 pounds of the Oliver Angus beef. We're going to have a big barbecue, the wood fire grill, and a mechanical bull. And then Saturday is going to be the Philip Miller's après-ski rooftop party. To wrap it up. And actually, we're going to wrap it up on Sunday with Sunday brunch for whoever still wants to stick around and connect over brunch. So we got a full 5 days of fun and making new people there. See, you didn't even know it was going to be this much fun when you decide to come speak here. So are you pretty excited about this, Alistair?
I am excited. I see that. Look at that. That's the face of excitement.
If you're not, if you're watching on video, you'll be able to see the excited face. But if you're just listening, you have to just imagine how excited his face is.
Well, I do love poker.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
No, because I try to make like a like something for everybody. Cause everybody's got different. That's why I have people like, why do you have so many tracks? It's like, there's so much selection. It's, you can suffer from FOMO. Like, that's why I record everything. So that way, if you do something, you won't suffer from FOMO. You could just watch it after the fact.
Yeah.
And then catch what you missed.
Poker and blackjack are my games in Vegas. So I play a lot of poker here. So,
yeah, I used to play a lot of poker, but then I don't know. It's just, I hate losing. I was not very good at it. I don't take losing well. I'm not a good loser, is all I can say. So Sterling, for folks that, you know, some of these lawyers that say making between, I think, $1 and $3 million a year. So if somebody's making between $1 and $3 million a year, on average, how much do you think you can reduce their tax liability?
At least in half.
In half?
In half.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
And if you comp over years, that would be a lot of money.
That's a big number. So, $750,000 in savings on $3 million.
Yeah.
Or more.
So how do you go about doing this? What are the strategies to deploy?
Well, I mean, first we look at your structure. You know, what entities are you using? You know, is there something that you could do? Could you set up another entity like a C corporation and have an off-year election in order to funnel money into the new year and not have everything due on 12/31? You know, especially if your intent is to reinvest some of that money into advertising or trial costs. Because come the end of the year, you have to pay that tax on that money, whether your intent is to turn around and reinvest it or not. Well, what if you could set up a separate entity and defer that into the new year and have access to that money without having been paid taxes on, or at least, you know, only paying it at the corporate level as opposed to the personal? You know, many firms have large advertising budgets, and, you know, many times they're writing large checks to their advertising firm. Well, write that same check to yourself and have your entity manage that budget and how it gets spent, as opposed to giving it to someone else and then deciding once they already have your money in their pocket. You can look at hiring your kids. You can put a lot of money away, or other people in your family, your spouse. If your spouse isn't, you know, on your payroll and you're not maximizing your qualified plan opportunities, I can't tell you how many firms I go into and I see that they have a simplified employee pension plan, a SEP, because that's what their accountant recommended. I can't think of a worse plan to use. And, you know,
that hurts, because that's what I have.
Well, there you go.
All right. I got to get my shit straightened out.
Well, you know, we could, you know, probably take you from the $40,000 you're putting away to, you know, the $300,000 level. You know, that would be, you know, we can look at creating other entities. Most business owners have tremendous liability, unfunded liability. So you're either insured by an insurance company or you're self-insured. Well, what if you could make a non-deductible, make a fully deductible contribution into your own insurance entity that covers your own liability? And somebody else could make sure that all of the requirements are taken care of, and so you have no regulatory liability, and 94% of all of that money flows into your new entity that doesn't pay any tax under 831B. And that money, in the event that you don't have a claim, which most business owners don't have claims.
Hopefully.
Yeah, well, if you make a premium payment to a regular insurance company, it's a deductible, but you don't get any of that back in the event that you get a claim. You don't have a claim, right?
Trust me.
Yeah, your insurance company doesn't send you a check back. But you could, you know, that money could go into your own entity, and when you don't have a claim, that becomes underwriting profit, which sits in that entity. And what can we do? What do insurance companies generally do with their money? Well, they invest it or they loan it. Well, you can invest it for your benefit, and you can loan it to yourself or anyone else that you like at the federal funds cost of money. And that makes very favorable lending. On a tax deductible basis, and it's accumulation of wealth that you have. And let's assume that I don't pay tax on it. I borrow the money out of the entity, and I go buy some real estate for myself with that borrowed money, paying interest to myself.
Sounds like it might be funds
that I took a deduction on. I mean, that would be one example, but there's a lot of other structures that we can deploy that, you know, have the similar effect.
How can people hire their children and their wives and do that ethically and legally?
Well, if your child is old enough, which the IRS defines as 7, and can do something meaningful like stick paper in a shredder, then you can hire them. Or if your child can be on your advertising, they can become a model. But you can funnel substantial money to that child, and that child doesn't pay any FUTA or FICA taxes, and no state or federal taxes up to about $16,000. So you've got a number of kids, that's a lot of money, and now your child has the money to pay for his own school funding, his own personal needs, and you didn't pay any tax on it. Whereas if you gave that child that same money, it cost you 50 cents to before you gave it to them. So every dollar costs $1.50.
Wow. I can see that now. Yeah. So I could never, I always pondered how that worked, but makes sense now. So what are some, because you're going to talk about these in depth.
Yeah, I'll talk about the Augusta rule. Every attorney, has a meeting somewhere. I mean, many times you have meetings offsite. If you own a piece of real estate, that meeting could be at that location. You can rent that location out 14 days a year. That usually your personal home. You can rent out your home to your entity for 14 days a year, and that income that you charge that your company, it's deductible for your company and non-taxable to you.
And I just heard about this recently. It's been killing me because I'm like, because I have some.
Yeah, that's place called in the Vegas. Augusta rule. Yeah,
I know somebody that now it's like everybody knows about the Augusta rule, but until you hear about it, everybody doesn't know about it.
Everybody, lots of people know about it, but I got to tell you, even those people I tell about it don't necessarily deploy it, but they should. They're concerned. Everyone, their accountants are concerned, and I always ask the question.
Because just to be clear, though, you work with people's accountants. You don't take over their accounting.
I don't. I mean, I do provide accounting services because we get we have some. Sometimes that accountant can be difficult and he doesn't necessarily want to comply. And so we'll offer that service to complete it. But we'll educate an accountant. I provide intellectual property behind about a dozen accounting firms and, two law firms. So we're always willing to educate your accountant if they're open to being educated. But I'll give you an example. Gary's accountant, it took me 7 years of him seeing his friends and family members benefiting from my work before he became a client. And so mostly it was his accountant that was not willing to come along with the process. And he finally gave up the ghost last year. So it takes a while. It takes a long time for some of these guys to come around. And
there's a lot of trust involved there, Sterling, with a lot of money.
Well, you got to think of it this way. They're not paid to take any risk, okay? And they're taking liability. And, they're not paying the tax. So, it's...
they're really getting the benefits, clearly.
So they're not as motivated as perhaps you are in order to figure out how this works.
Oh, by the way, I have this shirt I'm wearing on.
Yeah.
It's not generally what I would wear, but... This is to get me warmed up for my Wild West party, just in case anybody's wondering why I look like a cowboy. But that's a side note.
Okay, well, I'll have to buy one before.
I know. Everybody has to be themed for my parties. It upsets me when people don't go along with my little charades called dance-themed parties. But we're getting better at it. Even my friend Joe Freed is wearing a tracksuit this year. And I said, Joe, I can get you a cowboy hat, too, for the set. He goes, no, I'll bring my own. He goes, but then I got to carry it. I'm like, I can get you one of mine. He goes, no, I'll bring my own. So... When you get Joe Freed getting themed, it means we finally broke through because a lot of these lawyers, they don't like the theme, Sterling, and it hurts my feelings. But I share with them the pain I'm in, and we're getting them to comply. So just a side note in case people are wondering.
Well, I own a couple of pairs of blue jeans and a couple of cowboy hats.
There you go. So you're going to be all set. And so you talked about the Augusta rule. You talked about a couple other things. Give us a couple of what's another way that you help people to mitigate and cut down on their tax, because we got a massive tax obligations here if you're in California and you make any money.
So what if you could buy an asset, let's assume a piece of heavy equipment, a billboard, a computer chip, and you basically create a leasing company and you turn around after you bought that asset and you lease it to a third party that would use that asset. And I'm not talking about a small podunk company. I'm talking about a major player that is in that space, maybe billions of dollars or hundreds of billions of dollars that would want to lease that equipment from you. And so you bought that piece of equipment for 10 or 20 cents on the dollar, and you borrowed and some cases $1 million or more in order to purchase that. So you put a couple $100,000 out, and now you have a multi-million dollar piece of equipment, or multiple pieces of equipment, that you get to use section code 168K or section code 179D to take an accelerated depreciation deduction from that entity through a pass-through loss. So now I own a piece of equipment that I leveraged. I got to take 100% of the cost of the purchase all in 1 year. I own the equipment. Somebody else is now making all future payments. And not only do I get the immediate deduction, but I get the income that comes off from leasing that equipment to a third party that guarantees the payment.
Well, that would be pretty damn good.
Yeah, that would be about a 300% to one return over 5 years. It would be the immediate 100% deduction for the for buying the equipment, and then it would be a return of the principal plus a plus an investment return.
Wow. I just want to make a comment real quick though too, that, you know, not everybody's come to TLU, sadly. There's only about 800 people coming, but the folks who aren't coming, you can see Sterling's presentation on TLU On Demand. If you don't have it, shoot me a text or an email, and I will send you a code so that way you can try it out and check out the great presentations at TLU Beach, one of which will be Sterling. Maybe even make save so much money, TLU On Demand will be in your budget in the future. Not a lot of pound the table, but that was an enthusiastic idea right there.
Right.
If you want to master your trial presentation skills in the areas of witness prep and direct, cross-examination, the performance skills, that's opening statement and closing argument, and voir dire or jury selection, you need to learn the best practices. And you can right here at the TLU Beach House in Hermosa Beach. And we're collaborating with some of the greatest trial lawyers, like Joe Freed and Joe Camerlengo on trucking, Satch Oliver on depositions our trial, and then, you know, with great trial consultants like Eric Oliver, who's going to help Case Story, and David Clark and Shemek Lubecki teach the dark arts to help you put your cases together. Combine that, helping you get the right story with the great trial performance and presentation skills, and that's a recipe for much greater results. So join us right here at the TLU Beach House. To get the full schedule, go to triallawyersuniversity.com. We'll see you here. So in addition to being able to mitigate tax liabilities, what vehicles do you have to perhaps assist, you know, the lawyers in their growth?
Well, I mean, a couple of ways. One, you know, if you have more money, you have more money to invest. And so, you know, we would ask that if you're saving money, that you would put money aside. Secondly, from the standpoint of the growth of the law firm, I mean, there are techniques that where we can create a fund that, well, a pool of assets that we can create that can turn around and invest in your cases. So we initially start off with funding a pool, and then that pool invests in your cases and help finances it. It's called an option strategy. I don't want to get into the details of how that works, because I don't want to provide a guideline to the IRS on how everything works. You know, you don't want to provide them a roadmap for everything, but it's safe to say that you can create a self-perpetuating fund that you never pay taxes on. You can borrow money out, you know, the way that a billionaire will set up their stock, and then they'll borrow against the growth of that stock, and you don't pay income tax on money that you're loaning to yourself. And as long as that pool continues to perpetuate, either by investing in cases or investing in other investments that give a return, you'll never have to pay that money back, and you'll never have paid taxes on the original income. Think of it as a permanent deferral fund that, unlike where you have to buy an annuity, you can invest in cases or invest in investments like real estate or stock, and you'll never pay the tax.
Well, that sounds like a good strategy.
It's a good strategy.
You have more money.
You'd have more money, and ultimately, you know, you can live off of the borrowing against that pool of money, and it'll eventually be inherited by your children, or whoever it is that you want to leave the money to.
It's a good qualification.
Good qualification. Yeah. But more importantly, you know, it basically allows for firm growth because you can loan that money back to the firm and charge interest to the firm, which is deductible, that you're effectively charging yourself. So there's many ways to recycle money in this process. And, you know, that's called a leasing strategy. But there are other ways for us to do that. And that's where we would get into individual, you know, planning as to what do you want to accomplish? You know, do you want to advertise more? Do you want to hire more attorneys? You know, what's the structure you're looking for? And we will also offer fractional CFO, and CEO services to you to help put those two plans together as well, and improve the situation. A lot of attorneys are really great attorneys, but like really great mechanics, they're not necessarily great business people.
Well, most of them are not very good business people.
Right. And so, you know, if they need that kind of help, we can provide that type of guidance as well to help you grow top line, not just necessarily bottom line. We spend most of our time talking about bottom line, but, you know, if your objective is really to grow, we can help that too.
Make more money. Got it.
And so we have all the tools in place basically from beginning to end to offer you, you know, concierge services, family office like services, in order to prove your situation, and work with the other professionals that you want us to work with and help coordinate that team. So we'll play quarterback on a lot of aspects of an attorney's business and life.
So, Julie, how do people get a hold of you if they need to find you?
Well, you can look me up online at financialarchitects.com.
I like that name, Financial Architects.
Yeah, there's a few people out there using that name, but, you know, look specifically, I'm in Pasadena, California. Or you can reach out to my office at 626-844-1190. You know, from a compliance standpoint, I own an accounting practice. I own an asset management firm. So we're basically offering services from beginning to end, like a fractional CFO, fractional family office. You know, so we'll help you raise top line growth, and we'll help you mitigate taxes on the back end. You know, most entrepreneurs are more worried about making money than they are keeping it. And
I think I fall into that category.
Right, if you could work the same amount and make 30 to 50% more money, wouldn't that make a lot of sense?
I didn't have to think through that one, Sterling. I think I have to agree with that. It'll be in the category of no-brainers, I think.
You would think so. I mean, but many people are hesitant because they don't realize that the tax system is voluntary and that you're only legally obligated to pay the taxes that you owe. And these techniques are being used by billionaires all the time, maximizing. In fact, a CFO's first job is to minimize tax liability to the company that they manage. And so I would have to say that's your first job as well, in addition to raising top line growth, but paying as the minimum amount that is legally required. And most business owners don't even think about those things, and their accountants don't necessarily bring them any new ideas.
Yes. Generally speaking, accounting, I always wondered, I always wondered who becomes an accountant? Cause like it's such a boring job. Like I couldn't imagine just crunching numbers all day, but thank God there's people that crunch the numbers. So that way people that do creative stuff like me can do our creative stuff and not get in trouble with the government. That would say a good thing. And if anybody, for myself, anybody gets a hold of me for any reason, my email, of course, is dan@triallawyersuniversity.com. My cell is 248-808-3130. Oh, yeah, we also have a program. So anybody, you know, that's a law student wants to come to TLU. So we give all law students scholarships. All they have to do is fill out a form on our online. And, you know, because I think it's really important to intervene. If somebody would have intervened when I was a law student to give me, you know, to start teaching me the ways, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now because I would never start Trial Lawyers University because I'd been such a successful trial lawyer. Probably wouldn't have had time for it, but that wasn't my journey. That wasn't my journey, but it's most people's journey that's in law school. And then also, too, if anybody that's, you know, really wants to come to TLU and doesn't have the resources, well, if they give me a call, there's very few people who have to be able to figure it out for. Now, some people just don't want to spend their own money, and those are not the people that we're looking for to help. But
right,
a lot of people, you know, when you're young or when been going through stuff, it's hard out. You know, it's hard it's hard to make a living sometimes, especially if you're trying to figure stuff out. So we have some reserved, you know, some reserve tickets for those folks to help everybody get that wants to come to TLU, because it's a game changer.
Well, it's a really important to invest in yourself and your capabilities and, you know, improve that. And, you know, like anything else, it takes a long time to really, you know, get it down and be successful in many cases. If I had, you know, had the breadth and knowledge of experience early in life, I have a lot more money.
Me too.
Right? You spend a lot of tuition, and you can either spend that tuition by investing in education, or you can spend that tuition in time trying to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, and figuring stuff on your own is real time consuming and expensive. I know from experience.
Right.
I know from experience. Well, thanks for visiting us down here in Hermosa Beach at the Beach House. It's been good to catch up and get to know all your whys, and I'm really, really looking forward to having you at TLU, because this is something new for us, but it's something that I think is just going to benefit so many of my friends and attendees, because we're all there to make more money, every one of us. I mean, we're having fun, we're making new friends, but at the end of the day, if we're not making more money, if people are making more money because they came, I know they're not coming back. I realize all of life's a trade-off. They're trading, you know, time and other things they could be doing, like working or spending with their family to come to Huntington Beach. And I want to make sure that the ROI is through the roof for my people. But I really think that your coming here and this presentation you're going to give is really going to be helpful. So I look forward to seeing it about a week or so.
Yes, sir.
Only about a week and a couple of days away. All right. Thanks, Sterling.
Thanks, you. Thank you.